So we've heard these two young ladies talk about their new Christian faith here today. They're just about to go into this strange little pool here on my left-hand side. You've heard them probably use some phrases. If you've not been to church for a while, it's not exactly the typical church service, maybe. I grew up in a Roman Catholic family. Trust me, church wasn't like this. Maybe you're thinking, what's going on? For them also, they've got to start asking themselves questions. They said they want to follow Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? In fact, what does it even mean to be a Christian? And what is actually being a Christian really going to make that much difference to their lives after this morning? Well, I want us to look at a little part of the Bible that we've been studying as a church together. It's Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. I'm hoping they're behind me. So let me read. This is the word of God. Let's read this together. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is God's word. Amen. These words were written a long time ago. They were written a long time ago by a dude called Paul. And it was a book written to a church full of young Christians, very much like Kaylee and Lisa. And the Apostle Paul wanted to teach these new believers, as he wants to teach all Christians. He wanted to teach them, listen, this is what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. I know for a fact that this time last year, neither of these girls would have dreamt they would get up and stand in front of a group of people this morning, right? And talk about following Jesus. That wasn't even in their thinking whatsoever. In fact, probably ask their family members. I don't know members of their families, but I bet if you ask family members who know them really well, I bet you any money that they're as surprised as anybody else by this turn of events in their children's lives. And they both, as we've heard, they come here through different routes, but they've ended up in the same church on the same Sunday here in Nidri to confess Jesus as Lord. And once, like many other people around us in this community, they wouldn't have given a second thought to God. They'd been happy living life, as we've heard. They live life on their own terms. They live life doing the things that they thought would make them happy. And as we've heard, the problem was with that. They weren't happy, were they? In fact, they were deeply unhappy, and their lives seemed empty and meaningless to them. But then Christians came into their lives and they heard the good news about Jesus, and they understood the gospel, and they decided to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And so just as their relationship to God has changed, his relationship to them has also changed. They're no longer condemned to eternal hell, but they've become, as Paul puts it in verse 12, they've become God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved by him. And this change in them is taking place on the inside. In Christian terms, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes to live within them. He comes to help them live God-pleasing lives. Now, they've not become superhuman. They've not become sinless. They're going to make mistakes. The Christian life is not an easy life. In fact, in many ways, they've just actually made their lives a lot more difficult for themselves. And they, like all Christians, they're going to have to make sacrifices. in their lives. They're going to have to make some hard choices that maybe unbelieving family and friends find difficult to understand or even accept. Who is this new person now? Where is the old Kaylee gone? Where is the old Lisa gone? That can be a shock to family. I remember when I got out of my last jail sentence and I just became a Christian. I've been in jail quite a long time and I became a Christian, and my dad, I went to talk to my dad about my faith, and I remember my dad saying to me clearly, "Who are you? I preferred the mez on drugs and in jail than this guy." That's a shock for people. It is a shock for people to understand what's going on. And so part of today is not just about baptizing these two young ladies, but it's also about recognizing that their faith is genuine, and it is about welcoming them, as Andy said, into church membership. You are going to need a lot of help. You're going to need a lot of prayer and a lot of love in your new found faith. That's what Paul says in verse 14. He says, you as Christians are going to need to put on love. That's the language he says. But what does that mean? What does it mean to put on love? That sounds like the sort of cheesy crap that Christians say, right? What is this Christian love that Paul is talking about? Well, thankfully, he tells us. Christian love is not all pie in the sky. It's not all waving your hands in the air, leaving your brain at home. Christian love is deeper than that. You are going to need to put on this Christian love like every other Christian in their lives. You're going to need to do it, not just today while you're feeling good and special, but tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next year, and on into your life. And Paul tells us what this Christian love is. Firstly, he says, Christian love, in verse 13, is bearing with and forgiving those who sin against you. Here's a newsflash. Church is not a perfect place full of perfect people. Christianity is not all flowers and chocolates. I mean, listen, we've all heard of the saying, right? I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Yeah? Am I right? We've all heard that one. Well, it's worse than you think. It's worse than that. The church is not just full of hypocrites, but it's full of dingbats as well. It's full of sinful, broken people. Listen, there's some sweet, lovely, gentle people in this church, like me. There are gobby, mouthy idiots, like other people. And here's what I know about you two girls, very different personalities, very different backgrounds. You are going to get on with some people better than you're going to get on with others in this church. That's a fact. That's the way of the world, right? There are some people in this church who are going to rub you up the wrong way. They won't be your kind of people. But they're God's kind of people. And now you've come to follow Jesus, the Bible says you have to live with them and not just tolerate them. You have to, he says in this text, bear with them. Forbearance is an old-fashioned word, but it means somebody who shows restraint and self-control. Now, here's what I'm willing to bet, and I don't know you both very well, but you're Nidri lasses, or at least you come from around here anyway, or wherever you come from. Someone in your old life mouthed off to you in the street. I don't imagine you turned the other cheek, did you? Hey, I'm reckoning people got a verbal mouth back or they got a slap in a mush. We all know life is lived on the streets. You can't show weakness out there, can you? You got to stick up for yourself. That's how the game goes. And all too often what happens, someone gives us grief or abuse or says something about us or says something about your dad or your ma or your kids. Bang, the emotions go, the temper comes. We end up acting without thinking. But for the Christian, Paul says, our new life is to live a Christian life of restraint, keeping your emotions in check. Power under control. It's easy, isn't it? See you today going, oh, I've just sang a few songs and it was nice and I went into the water and it was great and I feel really good and I'm going to love Jesus until you get on your phone, check Facebook, and some moron's on there mugging you off, right? That's when forbearance comes in to play. And if that's not hard enough, Paul's even worse than that. He says, you don't just have to live with people who annoy you, but you're also going to have to forgive people who sin against you. That's the hardest thing to do. Now, let me be clear. We're not called to overlook one another's sin, but we are called to forgive a brother or sister who repents of sinning against us. Literally, we have to forgive and forget. And that's hard, isn't it? I don't know if you're like me, but I remember people who said something about me or my family or something from 20 years ago. You just keep it in there, don't you? It's very hard, but Paul says that's not the Christian life. Now, these girls have shared a little bit about their history, haven't they? Very brave, these girls. Shared a little bit about their history and some of the mistakes along the way. Here's what I know for a fact. I bet you they haven't even shared the half of it. Hey, if your ma and da and family members knew what you really got up to, hey, there'd be trouble, wouldn't there? I bet you they've thrown us a few things, but the really bad skeletons in the cupboard, you know, they've kept them to themselves. And we all know that feeling. Every single person in this room has got skeletons in the cupboard, right? Everyone. Every one of us has probably got something we did when we were younger, or older, or more stupid, even things we did recently. We've all got things we keep to ourselves. You know, one of the great joys about following Jesus is that Jesus accepts us even though he knows every single thing about us. Every bad deed, every evil thought, every snide thing we have ever done, Jesus knows all of it. And as Paul says here, how grateful we are as Christians that Jesus forgives all of our sins. He takes them off our hands. He removes our guilt from us. And he promises, he says in the Bible, to forget about our sins as far as the east is from the west. I'll forget about it. In other words, I'll never bring it up again. It's not like us. God's not like us. We have an argument with somebody, don't we? We make up, a little hug and a kiss, say it'll be great. And then 3 years later, we bring that same thing back up in an argument, don't we? Because we haven't forgotten it really. We've kept it for when we want to bring an argument out. God's not like that. When we come to Jesus in true repentance and faith, God forgives and forgets our sins. That is a blessing. That is a comfort to every soul. And what Paul is saying here is, every time we're tempted to not forgive someone who annoys us or sins against us, we are actually forgetting the gospel. We're forgetting just how much Jesus has forgiven us. And again, forgiveness is easy in church on Sunday, but it's hard out there on Monday. Especially if your neighbors are dingbats, right? Or people around you are trying to trip you up or catch you out. Oftentimes, people, they offend you. They don't even know they're doing it. Often, people offend you because they know full well what they're doing. But Paul's command is the same. If we have grievances with one another, then we have to forgive as Christ forgave us. And any Christian who holds a grudge against a brother or sister has not understood the gospel. And this stuff isn't easy, is it? That's why Paul says we are to put on these attitudes. We're to ask God daily to help us do these things. Forgiveness and forbearance. It's a long list of things. I was thinking about how to preach this text this week. There's too many things, so I went with forgiveness and forbearance. You're in a church full of idiots. Welcome. who are going to offend you at some point, intentionally or unintentionally, welcome. People are going to say stupid things to you sometimes, and you probably say stupid things to them sometimes. Surrounded by people who live in our community, they don't care about God, don't care about your faith, don't care about anything but themselves. And God says you're going to have to restrain yourself, don't act like before, and you're going to have to forgive those who grieve you. Here's the problem, though. You can't do it. Who can do that? Who can live up to that expectation? Who can do that? None of us can do it. So where are we going to get the strength then? Well, he tells us in verse 16. He says, listen, let the word of Jesus or Christ dwell richly among you. On our own, we are not capable of bearing with other people or loving or forgiving them. If somebody says something to you on Facebook, here's your initial response. Let's just go around their house and kick the door in, right? Drag them outside in the garden and slap them about in the mush a bit until they see our point of view. Am I right? Some of you are sitting there going, I'd never do that. Yeah. Okay. Maybe it's just me. But Christ, in Christ, we're to live a different life. But this is going to take time for you. You think Kaylee's going to be Mother Teresa tomorrow? Or Lisa, wandering around going, oh no, say bad things about me. I'll turn the other cheek, just like Jesus does. Well, they're not. Well, they might do, but I mean, that would be a bit weird, right? These things take time. You've lived your life a certain way for a long period of time. The Christian life takes a lot of time for us to grow. But if you let the Bible, as you rightly said, the Bible, the Word of God, if you dwell on the Bible, read the Bible, pray over the Bible, let the Bible become your guide for this life. Trust me, these things become easier over time. You will grow, you will mature. You know, the word dwell means literally to take up residence in, to be at home in. Paul's saying, listen, the more the Bible and Jesus is made at home in your life, the more you will put on these things when people do your nutting. Often, if a stranger comes to the house, you might let them into the hallway, you might even let them into the front room. You're feeling excitable. But you wouldn't invite a stranger to root around in your bedroom, would you? Unless you're a weirdo, right? Well, Paul's saying, don't treat Jesus like that. Don't just have areas in your life where Jesus isn't allowed. That's out of bounds. All your life is open to the Lord now. All your life where Jesus can make himself at home. You know, we don't become more loving, more patient, and more forgiving by trying harder. Not even reading the Bible is going to help you. You've got to dwell in it. You've got to read it, soak it up, apply it, meditate upon it, grapple with it, wrestle with it, allow it to change and shape you. Accept the hard passages along with the easy ones. And you've got to do it in the local church. And then right at the end he says, listen, do everything now in the name of the Lord. And I mean everything, not just the so-called spiritual things. We don't just become spiritual. We walk through the door on Sunday, right, now it's God time, and I'll be all spiritual and sing a song for an hour and listen to some dudes say some stuff about the Bible and pray, feel a bit better about myself, get the kids from Sunday school and go home and back to normal. No, he says every single moment of your life now belongs to Jesus. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. When you're cleaning the bog, when you're taking the kids to school, if you're serving in the cafe, if you're working with idiots, if you're watching telly, these are all now spiritual things. Everything you say and do will tell people what you think about Jesus, whether you take him seriously or not, whether you take the faith seriously or not. Every second of every moment in our lives is to be done in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Listen, we all know people who've been baptized in this church, stood up, said, oh, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus now, blah, 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 and yet we know they're running around a scheme. Bang at it. I'm a minister. I'm not a muppet. Well, I'm a muppet, but you know. But I'm a wide one. Bang at it. And as I always say to these people, you are bringing disgrace on the gospel, on the Lord Jesus. You're embarrassing the Lord. I don't care about this church or me or anything like that. I care about the gospel, the Lord Jesus. We as Christians, you as Christians now, everything you do will be in the name of Jesus. And trust me, there will be people waiting to catch you out. If you step a foot wrong, they'll even have thought you're a Christian. So you're a Christian now. You can't do that or say that. And so, if your family members or friends who know what they're like, really, behind the churchy stuff, just have a little bit of patience with them. Christian life is a new life. They're like children in the faith. And like all children, they need time to grow and develop and mature, okay? Don't expect perfection. No one here is expecting that from them. Only God demands that. And so just try and encourage them. There'll be plenty of people trying to catch them out. Look, none of these things are natural to us. Some of us have got short fuses and battle with anger. You're going to get angry. You're going to lose it sometimes. You're going to shout at the kids. Lies will slip out of you. You'll get frustrated. You'll want to walk away from the church and the faith. People will get on your nerves. Some people are going to be harder to love than others. You know, I don't expect you to wake up tomorrow and run downstairs to your, you know, or run across the road to your next door neighbor who's annoyed you for the last 10 years, hug them and say, Jesus loves you and he wants you for a sunbeam. I mean, you could do that if you want to really freak them out. You're not going to be best pals with people you've had grief with for most of your life. These attitudes, love, patience, forgiveness, these things are a work, require a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So here's my advice as we end. You want to know how to stick the Christian life? Keep your eyes on Jesus. There's no magic key to this. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep dwelling on the Bible. Live every moment for Jesus. And the church will encourage you in this, just as you will encourage the church. You will sin, but repent quickly and move on. Do not try to hide it when you sin. Do not try to deny your sin. Do not try to pass off your sin as somebody else's fault or problem. Own it. Own it. Don't play it down. Take your sin to the Lord quickly and move on. You know, many of us in this room used to be many things, didn't we? Drunks, addicts, abusers, liars, violent, proud, arrogant, sneaky. If we could add up all the evil contained just in this room that we've done, that'd be a lot, wouldn't it? But if we come to faith in God, if we admit our sinful, rebellious ways as these girls have done, if we put our faith and trust in Christ alone, then God forgives us. God is patient with us. God puts up with us despite our failures. And as he puts up with us, so we as a body and as Christians are to forbear with one another, love one another, and forgive one another. Amen? Amen.